You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world. And now, innovation thought leader and your super fly host, Tamara Kleinberg.
Hey there, Launch Street. Tamara here, your host and lover of my swingline stapler. All right, seriously, does anybody know what movie that's from? If you do, put it in the comments section. We'll have a little bit of a laugh. All right, this Q&A podcast session, I think, is a really important one. It comes from a question that I was asked after a keynote speech I did on innovation at the Women's Food Service Forum, which hands down one of the most amazing associations and conferences I've ever spoken at. And a woman came up to me afterwards, after I had been talking about how we've got to ditch the culture of presentation and get into a culture of experimentation. And she came up to me afterwards. Her name was Tatiana, and she was from KFC, which, by the way, if you're listening to anyone else at KFC, you are lucky to have her, because she came up after and she said, "What do I do? We are inundated with decks. That's all we do is present, present. How do I get out of that loop?" Tatiana, thank you for asking. It's such an important question because I think that presentation loop that she's talking about, at least in my experience in the companies that we've worked with, actually squelches innovation in so many ways. And in this podcast, I'm with my amazing co-pilot, the Connie Warden, and we're going to talk about how you get out of that loop so that you can create a culture of experimentation where you can test out ideas, where you can actually truly know the viability of ideas, where you can stop spending all your time preparing presentations and get into spending your time actually building ideas and solutions. All right, here we go. We are back with Q&A. I am here with the amazing Connie Warden. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. You didn't even say the well-being warrior in that way you said it.
Oh my God, wait. Hello, well-being warrior. Yeah.
Thank you. I was waiting for that.
I cannot sing worth jack. So the fact that I even did that, I want you all to know, is seriously putting myself out there because that is not my thing. I am tone deaf. Like, you take me to karaoke and people are covering their ears. It's, in fact, one time when my kids were little, maybe like 3 or 4, you know, you sing to them when they're in the bath. Literally, I can't remember what, I think both of them did it. I mean, they're like, shh, no, Ima, no. No need to sing.
Oh, that hurts.
I know. No, I was like, oh.
In my speech today, I talk about how kids make you eat humble pie.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so, they just, and they imitate you. And anyway.
Oh, yeah. One time I asked him to show me what my mad face looked like. We were going through the family and dad was very rawr. Mine, they said, "We don't know what your mad face is because you stick your finger all up in our face. We can't see yours."
That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. I think we could probably have a whole podcast on the lessons our kids teach us of like how we're perceived. But we're going to move on from that. And instead, I am going to share a question that I just thought was so great. So I was doing a keynote at the Women's Food Service Forum, this incredible conference and association, you know, I don't know if it was 1,500 or 3,000 women. It was a lot of women and some men, of course, you know, in the food service business. And that's everything from fast food to back of house to restaurants to the people that deliver linens in food service. So massive group. And this woman came up to me after and asked me the most interesting question because I was talking about how we need to create a culture of experimentation, not a culture of presentation, because presentation is where ideas go to die. So her name's Tatiana, and she's from KFC. And I just have to say, KFC, by the way, I hope that you look at this, if you're listening to this and thinking, wow, I am so thankful that we have people in our organization who are trying to move the needle forward for us and change things for the better so that we can be more innovative. Because her question was, she said to me, "Tamara, we're inundated with decks. All we do is present, present, present. How do I get out of the deck loop then when that's the culture?" Do you know what I'm talking about, Connie?
Oh, well, I wish I did because I'm not sure what you mean by decks. yeah.
That is awesome. Okay. A deck for all of us listening, and maybe this is not everybody's lingo. This is so – I'm so glad you said that. A deck is basically a presentation. So I don't know why they're called decks. Maybe because if you stack the paper, it looks like a deck of paper, like a deck of cards, maybe. I don't even know where it comes from, but I've been using it since I started, you know, on the corporate side since I was in my 20s. But that's so funny. And what, oh my God, what a great example of how we get stuck in this lingo
that nobody even knows what we're talking about. And it's just our tiny little lingo that keeps us in our tiny little worlds. And we don't even know it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I totally just did it. That is great. Thank you for that.
Well, like, I was almost embarrassed, but no. I had to ask because otherwise we couldn't move on.
Well, and there's probably, first of all, thank you for not being afraid to ask. I bet you there are people listening who are also thinking, wait, what?
Yeah.
And how many times, by the way, have we been in that situation in a meeting where someone said something and you go, that acronym stands for what?
And you're kind of like, wait, maybe I'll learn as people keep talking what we're talking about.
You know, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but I think this relates to where we've headed on this. Before I get back, Tatiana, to your question, I do a lot of work in healthcare, and there's a ridiculous amount of acronyms and statements that are made that people assume everybody knows what everybody knows, right? What they're talking about. And I always have to come in and say, listen, I'm sorry to be assumptive or not be assumptive. I don't want to be assumptive. And I'm going to ask a naive question. I don't know what that means. When you say blah, 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 what does that mean? But here's what I discovered, Connie. So I'll be doing these innovation panels with customers and then my clients, right? So it's basically my clients and their customers. And the customer will say something and everybody nods their head in agreement, obviously knowing what that person's talking about. And then I have to ask the naive question of, I don't know what you're talking about. Can you explain? And later on, somebody on the other side of the room, one of the clients will come to me and go, oh, Tamara, I'm so glad you asked because I had no idea what they were talking about. So the number of times we're in our worlds where people say stuff and we just nod our heads because we don't want to look like an idiot. But the truth is nobody knows what we're talking about.
That is really true. Why are we afraid to go, I don't understand what you're saying?
Right. Right. I don't know. But I mean, do we think it makes us look like idiots? Because what makes us look like an idiot is when we walk away and do the wrong thing because we assumed or pretended to know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Decks, presentations, okay. PowerPoints. And by the way, PowerPoint, Microsoft, I have no problem with PowerPoint. I use it all the time. It's how we're using it that I have the issue with. So what Tatiana was alluding to was the fact that they are stuck in presentation mode. Everything is about presenting at the meeting, presenting the ideas, presenting to the committee, putting your thoughts down in a beautiful presentation with a beautiful, you know, image and the right three bullet points. The challenge is, as she and I were talking, and with a bigger group, is when we get stuck in presentation loop, what we find is that ideas go nowhere. And they go nowhere, I think, for two reasons. Reason one is because we spend all our time presenting and none of our time doing. We're constantly preparing for the next presentation. And the second reason is ideas are really hard. It's hard to gauge the real viability of an idea on paper. It's really not till the rubber meets the road that we really know. So I believe, and what my experience has shown, is that if we can get out of those spending all our time presenting and take some of that time back to actually experiment with our ideas, bring them to life. And I'm not talking about even a big way. I'm talking about duct tape and scented markers, whatever it takes to kind of build it and get feedback. We will know the viability of an idea and we'll know where to spend our time at the next step. But we're so busy presenting that we never get to the doing and we never get to understanding what's really possible.
That reminds me of a book Robert Holden did. Can't think of the name of the book. It has to do with success. Mm. And he was working with a company and he's a psychologist. And he says, the guy in the company is like, we're supposed to innovate. We're going to be innovators. That's the big thing this year. We're going to innovate, innovate, innovate. And he goes, well, what do you mean? What are you going to innovate? And he says, I don't know what, but we're just supposed to innovate.
I love that. I hear that all the time.
They really had no idea. They just, this was the phrase that they were going to be using for that year because that was the fad. And it was just funny that these, you know, people in management, they weren't even clear.
Right. What does it even mean to innovate?
Yeah.
So you're presenting all these ideas for what?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I think, and I hear that all the time, they'll say to me, we're supposed to be innovative. And I say, great. I don't want to be assumptive. Help me understand what innovation means to you. And oftentimes what I get back is, I don't know. That's what the C-suite told me. So I'm trying to figure it out. I had someone from one of the largest retail companies in the world come to me recently, and I'm not going to throw them under the bus because we're about to do some work together, and they're a really great group of people trying to innovate. But he said to me, Tamara, you know, I lead this department, But I'm really struggling with how do I operationalize innovation for my team? I'm not marketing. I'm not new products. So like, what does innovation even mean to me? And it's kind of to your point, I think some of the reason we get stuck in presentation mode is because we don't actually have a focus.
Yeah. And what are we being clear about? I mean, hopefully you're focusing on a problem and you want to fix something or make it better.
Yeah. Yeah, focusing on a problem or focusing on shifting with the market. So maybe it's not a problem yet, but you're going, okay, we need to head here. How do we do that? And maybe that's a problem. I see it more as like, how do we harness change and make it an opportunity? But you're right. So what does innovation even mean? And then like being very clear about that and then saying, now that we have a focus for innovation, how do we get out of presentation mode and just keep spewing ideas? And I keep using that word today. I should probably stop. It's not a pretty word. Like, it's one of those words that after you say it, you're like, ew, that was gross. How do I get into a mode of experimentation? So let me talk a little bit about what that means to me, because I think that sometimes you hear that and you go, but I don't have, you know, $5,000 in an R&D team. Don't care. I think that it's about rapid experimentations. I think it's about, you know, taking that rubber band and that book and that hat and cutting them up and making your thing, bringing it to life, and then going to people who would be, you know, potential customers and saying, hey, can I just show you this and get your feedback on it? I'll give an example. When we launched our on-demand program, our innovation tools, our library online for customers, I didn't build the product first. Here's what I did. I built a marketing one-pager. And I took that to clients, potential clients, ones that I had a really solid relationship with, who I could just have a, you know, quiet conversation in the corner, that they weren't going to hold it against me if it was bad. And I said, hey, Connie, this is my idea. This is the platform. What do you think? And they gave me the most brilliant advice before I got to the next phase of starting to actually build the product. Sometimes all it takes, like if it's a web page, you're trying to figure out a marketing language or a product, all it takes is getting it off of the presentation and onto like, here's what it would look like in the real world, finding a dark corner somewhere in your office and actually showing somebody and testing it out internally with clients. There's always someone, I think, who's willing to go along to the journey with you if you just ask. But that's how you know if the idea is viable or not. And I will tell you what, those conversations I had with the very beginning, and I will say a massive shout out to the people over at We up in by the Seattle area. They know who they are. They were the ones who helped me. Their input at that front end, because I had something to show them, because I experimented, changed the trajectory of how I was going to deliver this platform, because they gave me the feedback I needed. But if I had just presented a PowerPoint deck, I would have gotten the feedback.
That's a really, really great story. And I think it took courage on your part. And it was not perfect. I think we had
to really get
away. Yeah, because you don't go from the idea to perfection.
God, that's so true, right? Like it's a marathon.
Yeah. And you know, you think of the first iPhone and what we've got now. I mean, if they were going to wait till it was, you know, what it is now, it would never happen. And that's what I feel like is going on here. They're just afraid to move it forward.
Have you ever found yourself in that where you had an idea, you wanted to bring it to life, but there was like that fear of, oh, they're not going to like it. It's not good enough yet. I just need to polish it up a little bit more before I do it. And what happened?
Oh, I tell you what, I'm in that phase right now. A year ago, I came up with this idea for stress relief in a box. And it's taken, there's a lot of pieces to it. And at one point, I just said to somebody, I said, could you tell me I still have a valid idea? Because it's kind of like, you know, I was into it so much. Now I thought it was stupid. And so I would have to go and say, is this still a good idea? Here's what I've got. I don't know why, but I don't know.
I've been with you on this journey. So from the outside looking in, do you think it's to your point earlier that you were so concerned with it being perfect and exactly what you wanted? Like, I think for you, and this is true for a lot of us, we have this end vision in mind. And the reality is our first launch never looks like our end vision. So it's not good enough, right? So
that's exactly it. And there's still some of my yoga videos that I'm on there. They're not perfect. Yeah. I want to redo them. And it's just going to go on and on. And so, yes. So I'm trying. So yes to your question. About, I've got this idea. Why am I not launching it?
Yeah. And you know, here's the funny part about it, right? You can't go to your point earlier, you can't go from a PowerPoint presentation to launching it 100% optimized without a lot of work happening in between. And so, you know, to kind of Tatiana's great question is, if we can get out of presentation mode, here's how I like to think of it. So when I have an idea, before I go to my team and present it to them as something I want to do, I try it. I build it in any way I can. Now, I'm also an experiential, right, in my RQE, my archetype, so I like to build, innovate. But I build it, and then I present the building to them. And I say, all right, guys, here's, I built this idea. What do you, like, let's talk about it now. Let's get some feedback now. Versus, in theory, I have this idea, and it's on a piece of paper. Because they can't really respond in a real way to that. They can respond to a physical thing that I've brought to life. And again, I don't care if that's a scented marker, wireframe for a website, or a product you actually built out of cardboard. It doesn't matter. What matters is, if you start there, get some feedback and some validation of what works and what doesn't, then you get to presentation mode. I get that at some point you got to present to higher ups, like what your idea is. But here's the cool part. When we worked with clients, if I, Connie, get you to build your thing, right? And then you get some feedback and you optimize it and it's total duct tape and, you know, cardboard. Then you go to your senior leadership and you say to them, here's my presentation. I built this idea. And I tested it, and here's the feedback I got. Now you're going to them not with an in theory idea of something that may or may not work, that they need to decide on whether or not they're going to allow you to go to the next level based on a piece of paper. You're going to them with validation of why this idea should be implemented before you even get to presentation. And then you get way more buy-in because they've seen, oh, Connie's done the work to really test the idea.
I really like that. And there's something about, again, it takes courage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, someone's going to go, I don't really get what that duct tape is for, you know. But I feel like the physicality of a new idea before you present, excellent.
You know, you just said something there about someone may not like your idea or they may call your baby ugly. It's how I always feel about it because we feel so tied to our ideas. I think the other part to that is you as the person with the idea have to be comfortable with people poking holes.
Yes.
And not take it as a personal attack or negativity. And one of the things I always say to people is when you're talking to people who poke holes, you know who they are, right? Like we all have them in our lives and work. Get them to help you fill those holes. So when I present an idea to that person, I'm going to say to them, here's my crazy idea. What holes do you see and how will you fill it? Because I want their wheels turning to help me fix the problems that they see, not just, you know, shouting out all the problems. But you've got to, and I don't like to think of it as a thick skin because I'm not sure that's, I haven't figured out the right phrase. I'm not sure that's it. It's just a matter of saying, taking all that feedback and recognizing all of this, all of that feedback that you're getting in the marketplace about your, you know, really, really rough idea is just that. It's feedback to help you get better with your idea. It's not meant to shut you down. But that's hard to do sometimes.
But I really love your idea. Instead of going in there and saying, hey, look at my idea. What do you think? And you're hoping that everyone's going to give you some good feedback.
Yeah.
But you just start out and say, hey, poke some holes in this. What do you already see that's not going to work? And a whole different mindset. I love it.
Yeah, it really does change the game for you because, you know, we as humans, we have this love or hate with when people present stuff to us. You either love it or you hate it. And if you've seen any of my keynotes, you've heard me talk about the language of innovation and about how we shoot down ideas because of how we present them. It's actually the onus is on us to figure out a way to communicate our ideas. But it's human nature to poke holes, and that's okay, but we've got to figure out how to leverage those people in that thinking. And we need them. The challenge that we have is we look at some people and we go, oh, you're my yes anders. I love you two people. Yay. And everybody else, we go, boo, you're yes butters. You don't get it. But the truth is we need them too. So like, let's just leverage everybody. But if you can find a way to experiment with your ideas in a small, tiny, tiny, tiny scale and grow from there, you'll see an incredible shift in really what's viable with your ideas and that response to your ideas. And, you know, to people like Tatiana out there who are thinking, but I'm not senior lead, I can't change the culture, I would encourage you to do it and see what happens. Just that next time you're supposed to present an idea, I want you to, instead of working on that PowerPoint deck first, I want you to go out there, build it, get some feedback, optimize it, and then incorporate that into your presentation and watch the eyes light up in the room. I think they just need to see the difference between presentation and experimentation in order for everybody to shift. You got to, it's the same, Here's a way to think of it. You are experimenting with this process. Go experiment with it, see how it works, and other people will come along because they'll see the value in it.
Yes. Be courageous enough to step up and do it. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, it will be exciting. And I think it's interesting, Connie, that every time we talk, and maybe it's just our bent on stuff too, courage keeps coming up, right? You've got to have the courage to try this stuff. It does take courage, and it takes a willingness to do things differently, knowing that other people haven't done it yet. And maybe you're the first that has to do it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, we at LaunchChute, we have this kind of Shark Tank evolving competitions that happen once a quarter. And I love them. What we do is everybody gets $50 to bring their idea, whatever idea they think is most valuable to the business that they want to implement. They get $50 to do whatever they need to do to try it. And then we all present to each other our findings from that experimentation. And then we as a team vote on which ones move to the next stage. And then the ones that move to the next stage get $1,000 or $100, whatever it is, right? And we keep building and building from there and experimenting along the way. The cool part about it is because we have such a culture of experimentation, we really know what works and what doesn't work. And we recognize, we know how to test viability of an idea. But even better, what I find super cool is when you get to experimentation, people seem to let go of their personal attachment to the ideas and they will vote on somebody else's idea. And they'll be like, you know what? Now that I see Connie's idea in real life, that has more potential for us. I think we should do that one and not mine.
That's really cool.
It's a fascinating shift. Yeah. So bring ideas to life. That's all. I mean, that's the gist of it.
Yeah. And don't be afraid.
Yeah, you're right. And don't be afraid. All right. I think, Tatiana, that was an incredible question about how you actually do it. I want you to think small scale. I want you to think consistently. And I want you to think about being the first one to try it and see how it lights up the room, because it's pretty surprising.
All right.
Woo!
Before you go, what did you think? How does that relate to the situation that you're in? Here's what I want you to do after listening to this podcast. The next idea that you have, I don't care if it's an idea for an internal process improvement or a new product for your customer or a new service or just a new way to do a meeting, whatever it is, I want you to build out the idea. I want you to bring it to life and go get some feedback on it and then show it to the team. Find, you know, some duct tape and scented markers and draw out your idea and show it to someone. Build a prototype and find that dark corner in your office where you can just talk to a few customers that will give you feedback in a really trusted and safe way. We've got to get out of that culture of presentation and get into the culture of experimentation. And if you need more, go to our website. We have so many resources on how to do that and how to shift your thinking. And I think oftentimes, and also important, how to shift the thinking of the people around you. So go to our website, go to launchstreet.com, G-O-T-O, launchstreet.com. Check out our resources and let me know how you brought an idea to life. All right, Tamara out.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.